Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
We are the UR Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport. We strive to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Parenting Aces radio show. This is your host, Lisa Stone, and I am coming at you live from Delray Beach at the National Play Court, and I am with my guest today, Marlena Hall. Marlena is in charge of pretty much everything that has to do with this tournament and has been an incredible resource for me in terms of getting my son here and figuring everything out. So, Marlena, welcome and thank you for doing the show.
Thank you. No, this is amazing. It's so funny that finally we touched base and we've been following your son for a couple of years and here at one of the biggest stages in junior tennis.
Well, we're on kind of a weather delay thing right now, which is not well for me and work well for my son because his match hopefully is going to be pushed back a few minutes, which means we can chat.
Perfect.
But tell us a little bit about what it takes to pull off an event like this. You've got the boys 18s and 16s here.
Yeah, it's a little mini pro event. We also put on the big pro event here in February. It's a 10-day oldest divisions we have in the juniors in the country, and all the top NCAA and NAIA coaches that are coming down to recruit them.
So this year, for the first time, there's a quali event, which is what's going on today.
Right.
And to my listeners, the show is being pre-recorded on Thursday, so it's the first day of quali.
Bring the opportunity that the USPA is our first time with the quali event. Normally we started on Sunday and we go right into Maine, but now it's giving junior tennis an opportunity to work their way into a very tight and talented player field. So you're seeing a lot of kids are able to now play up. They maybe would have been playing the 14s or playing in the 18s, 16s, and trying to get their points into an older age division. So it's definitely challenging, but it affords more tennis working their way into a major event.
I don't know if you had a chance to look, but I did write a couple of pieces on the process for this tournament this year. There's been so much confusion on the part of parents, even on the part of tournament staff. I had the opportunity to talk to the tournament director for Kalamazoo, and he's facing the same stuff that you guys were facing in terms of trying to understand how the process works. What are the most common questions you've gotten, and how are you handling all that?
Yeah, I would be definitely included at times. We're still figuring it out through the questions. There's a lot of school emails. The U.S. can still work with. We've gone to this event before, and it's still a little challenging to figure out the logic because the main questions I come up deal with, it says on one list I'm selected and I'm into the event, but on another list I'm not. Which list takes precedence and what determines which list has more merit? So and there's a lot of confusion with that still. So we kind of just defer to the USPA and their list and whatever that final national election list says. Games entrance to our event. But definitely the question is which presses are most common.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I had massive confusion myself over that, trying to figure out, okay, there's a dot next to my son's name. I don't know what that dot means. Yeah, is he in qualies? Certainly he's not in Maine. I know he didn't make our section quota. It was crazy. But I did figure it out eventually. So this morning, quali started. I know one of my son's buddies got a walkover in the first round.
Another one played an on-site alternate, also from home. So it was kind of a crazy morning. Did you have a lot of on-site alternates, or did kids show up for that this year?
Well, it's a good question, and it's interesting for us as well, because now I think this is our eighth year with this event, and we've never had, you know, normally when the question comes up before this event, which happens at every one of our junior events, we run 9 big events in the country, and every question comes up as to, if I'm an on-site alternate, will I be able to get in? And a lot of times, depending what level of the event, there's a good chance. With this one, we usually answer that the likelihood isn't as high, because typically when kids are coming to a level 1, the highest in the country, you're booking your flights and your hotels and all those arrangements that you're making, usually the kids that are in, they're here. And it's very rare when you're the last minute pull out. This event's been very different because for a lot of the players that didn't get in to the main draw, and they found out that they would have to make their way qualifying, and therefore more tennis, more hotel, more expensive, it became a lot of last minute changes to their schedule, and therefore changes to our draw that I think our staff is working very hard to do. So this is the first year where, being that Florida is so dominant in tennis, we've had a lot of local on-site alternates to be able to work their way in. So it's been good for them, but a little bit more work we've had to put in behind the tennis to try and form the draw these last minute changes.
So far, I mean, we're in the first day. So far, what are you seeing that's different this year with the quali event than in previous years?
Well, with previous years with this tournament, we've never had the quali, so it's definitely brand new. So we haven't seen anything that's different than another junior event that we've had. You know, a lot of these kids we've known since we've been running our 12th nationals. We've watched them grow up, and now they're towering over us. So there's nothing that's it just feels like it's another junior event. It's just a longer version of the main draw is how it feels. The kids are all still extremely talented. As we know in tennis, on any given day, some of these qualifying players can beat somebody in the main draw on Sunday, but they just have to now play a couple more matches and take care of their bodies in order to get there.
And I think that's the biggest challenge. I know coming, I mean, we live in Atlanta. Obviously, it's very hot and humid in the summer in Atlanta, too. But this puts that to shame. I mean, the air is so thick here. And we drove in yesterday in torrential rain, which we get thunderstorms in Atlanta, too. But I've never seen anything like it. So it's going to be interesting, I think, to watch these kids. I'm already seeing the trainer is standing right next to us, and he's had some kids filing in already, and you know, I think the kids are starting to feel it even in round one, and it's pretty mild today.
It's a topic that it never gets old for me, and it's growing more and more each year, where I'm noticing from where we were years ago how early in the tournament you see the physicality, the weather conditions, the preparation leading up to an event like this really come full force. And Ivan Baird and I talked about it in number one high school junior. He remembers this tournament vividly, and he's never seen anything like it. I've never seen so many bottles of Pedialyte and pickle juice and packets of salt, which are becoming like little treasures that people carry into their pocket, like their cell phone. It's a necessary a commodity here when you see how these kids are. They know the heat. They know they're playing on clay. It's going to require a lot more physicality. They should, hopefully, with their coaches and parents, are training 2 weeks minimum before coming here with their nutrition and their, of course, their hydration. But when you come here, it's very important what you do before the match and what you do after the match. And if you fail to eat properly, if you fail to know how to cool off and recover when it's time to recover and not maybe go into the soccer field and play with your friends, just knowing how to conserve that energy is so important. I think the quality is going to be an interesting look on those that had to make their way into the main draw, how they can take care of their bodies on that Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. If they can make it that far, would be a real, real nice thing to see.
I mean, talk about that some more, because I know I've written several pieces about hydrating and what's the right thing to take on the court to drink and what's the right thing to have after you get off the court. But every kid's different, and not only are they having to take care of the nutrition, the hydration, but there's a stress level involved in competing at a national level like that, right? So what do you see with how that plays in?
I've noticed in the past 7, 8 years here that every year there's a new, and I hate to toward a new trend as to what, you know, what you've got to drink and what the best thing to eat is, and then it spreads like wildfire. I mean, 2 years ago it was all about coconut water, and you still see coconut water. Pedialyte has seemed to be a very common trend. But then you'll read articles where it says that you really just need a lot of water until you've expended 6 hours worth of sweat. At that point, you read all these different things. Everyone they have the answer. But like I said, it's all a matter of personal. Whatever works for you. My brother will swear that salt packets of Pedialyte worked for him when he was cramping this time of year. I've never gone the Pedialyte salt route, so it is completely personal. I'm a big believer that that pre-tournament preparation is critical, and a lot of times that you know, people will say to you, "I really didn't prepare," but a day or two before an event like this, it's not enough. So it's really what you're doing those 2 weeks minimum before you get here, changing your diet. It's not just the hydration; it's really about the food, knowing when to eat, how often to eat. It's fuel. They have to take care of their bodies if they're putting in 6 hours. Tennis a day, including warm-up, including doubles and singles, twice a day. It's putting your body through so much. It's the only way to really take care of it. What you're all putting in. And the biofreeze, those topical ointments are supplementary, but it's what you're putting into your body shouldn't be neglected.
Yeah, great point. Well, let's switch gears a little bit. One of the cool things about the National Level 1 for the 18s especially has always been the opportunity to be seen by college coaches.
Yeah.
And the qualies, again, has put a little bit of a kink in that process because the kids are considered signed in to the tournament from the moment
right.
they sign in for qualies. And so how has that impacted your ability to get the coaches here and the coaches' ability
yeah.
to interact?
Yeah, it's I'm a college coach myself, so I can understand the difficulty from a coach's perspective and the player, in the sense that you come down, you travel, you make these arrangements so that you can have that one-on-one time. You know, a ranking and watching them play does a lot. It tells you their talent, which is a big part of your job when you're recruiting, but having that one-on-one time to get to know the player, who you might be forming a coach-student relationship with, is also really important. And not being able to speak with them here when they're in that state of stress, seeing how they handle it when they're speaking with you. I think it does a little bit of a disservice to the coach and the player. But, in our past years, we've had a college expo at our registration, which I always look forward to running and seeing how they interact. And it's unfortunate that it's kind of changed this year where there is no expo. It's really just the coaches coming down here. Usually they know who they're looking at. And a lot of the times the communications go on long before they get to this stage. So it's not the end of the world by any means. But it does change the time frame of when they're speaking prior to taking center stage here at the Clay Court.
I have seen a couple collegiate shirts here today,
yes.
So there are a couple college coaches on site
yes.
today. Are you expecting a lot more to come once the main draw starts, or what are you hearing from the coaches?
Just going based on past years, a lot of the coaches were fortunate. They do come here because they love Delray Beach. We have the same ones every year. They reach out to some of our staff. John and I tend to be foodies in the town of Delray, and we'll tell them exactly where to go, and they don't sometimes get a rental car. They just walk down the avenue. Sometimes they come here to get away and enjoy their summer before their season kicks off in the fall. But what has typically happened in the past years is we have a number of coaches that start in the beginning of the event. They stay here and they enjoy their time. A lot of schools like Florida State University, amazing coach there from that he's coming down towards the end. UF comes down towards the end. A lot of our local universities here will come and make their way in and out. But we've expected in the past close to between 50 and 100 NCAA coaches that come in. So it's been consistent, which is nice to see some familiar faces. We're expecting many more.
Good. That's great to hear. Because from our perspective, my son's entering his senior year of high school, so this is primo.
Yeah, time.
Yeah. And, he sent the emails before we came down to let the coaches know he'd be here and that, he's hoping to meet them and shake their hands and all of that. He got some responses and some didn't bother to respond, but okay. It'll be interesting to us. And one of the cool things that is happening with the qualies this year is all the kids that got into the qualies are automatically entered into the doubles if they choose to be.
Right.
So they do have that opportunity to stick around once the main draw is in action, even
right.
if they don't make it through the qualies. my hope is that that will mean more coach interaction as well for those kids that,
right.
you know, didn't
yeah.
get in.
Yeah, and the thing is, this time of year is tough because, you know, a lot of times you're waiting, like your son's waiting for responses, and, you know, you don't want to be one of thousands that are trying to get into that coaching school. You want to be regarded as somebody that's a strong candidate. And this time of year for coaches, they're getting so many emails from so many different people. They're running their own camps, and they're trying to maintain the happiness and the retention factor of their existing students so that they don't transfer elsewhere. There's so much on their plate that sometimes, you know, the best way for them to communicate is to, and again, it's a personal comment, is not constantly follow up with them. Don't feel afraid that if you send out one email or one communication and they don't respond back immediately, that that means that you're not a high priority. Sometimes they just need to know how interested you are. It's literally like in a very funny way. It's like a relationship, a dating game. They want to know that you're into them. You want to know that you're into that school and you want to wear that school's uniform. And I always encourage players, don't shy away. Follow up in a couple weeks and follow up with a phone call. Say, hey, I'm a strong candidate for your school and I really hope to meet you at the Horizon Play Court this year. So I hope that Double does do exactly what you say. I hope it affords more communication, more chances to see them on court.
Right. And hopefully the coaches will watch the doubles. I know that's not usually a priority, but maybe this year, just because of the structure of the tournament, it will be a little more.
I think that'll change. I think if you're following the trends and the rule changes, a lot of college tennis is doubles. Doubles is something that every college coach echoes as one of the most important aspects of them winning and getting to the NCAA finals. So I think more than ever, I've seen coaches stick around to see how well these players are doing with their game and how comfortable they are at the net.
Right. That's a great point. All right. So one thing that you've done that is facilitating the interaction with the college coaches is you have a player book. A real Facebook before the internet, a Facebook that you can hold in your hand. Can you talk a little bit about the concept behind that and the reasons for it and how the players and the coaches use that book?
Sure. I never got that question. I never had the opportunity to share. But the whole purpose of the player bio book for me, to be candid, was when I played, I just didn't think. To be honest, it was, you know, the little things that I think make one of those little tiny. And nowadays with technology completely changing where you could figure out so much about these players just online, you know, you've got to make things a little bit more interesting, I think, because from a term perspective, when I played it was just a very black and white copy paste and not exciting to read, much less exciting, you know, to write about yourself. So we've shaped in the past couple of years, we've created a book that we wanted to add some color to these players, show their personality. The ranking is just a number. Who they've beaten is just another stat on the paper. So this is just, it gives a little bit more of an all-encompassing description of these players. So we have about a little over 100 kids that every year, between 100 and 150 that are in the book. We talk about where they're looking to go to school and what they're looking to study. And, of course, you know, the fun stuff about their SATs and their parents and what they do when they're not on the tennis court. So it's just giving a little bit more room for them to show off who they are as non-tennis players.
Do you want to share some specific questions that you included this
year? Well, my favorite one this year that I always try and do something new was, you know, I talked about the players, if they had any superstitions, any rituals with court that, you know, we know is so prevalent and is talked about with players like Rafael Nadal and all the things that he does and talks about in his book openly. And I, you know, you see it, you know, us, we're such control freaks as tennis players and tennis players' parents, I'm sure.
Yes.
And it's nothing that we're not proud of. And as players, we have to try and take control out of so many uncontrolling situations. So a lot of the players learn some very interesting things about what their rituals are, and not just the obvious with food and drink, but sometimes how often they bounce the ball and why and how often they use the same ball and what their favorite lucky clothes or lucky undergarments. I had a good time reading some of these files.
I'll bet. I can only imagine what teenage boys are writing. I mean,
great.
I saw my son when it, you know, we sat down and kind of did it together. I, you know, me kind of asking these questions as you're pretending to. Okay,
sure.
Are you sure one that we had that. One of the questions I really liked that you asked that was actually very challenging for my kids to come up with an answer. And the first go, he said, I'm going to leave blank. And I was like, really, I think you ought to go back to that. The question was, talk about something about you. And I thought that was a great question. And yeah. I bet you're having a blast with that one, too. And I can't wait to see the book. But
yeah.
Maybe you want to share a couple of your faves?
I was pleased to see how many similar answers they were. I think that one was one that a lot of players did answer. Sometimes they won't answer what the most challenging aspect of the game is because they're afraid that that's the coach and the players. And it's really what I was trying to achieve there. But with as far as what you're going to bring to a team, I think you want to share with your what's going to become your extended family, and you want to share with you're going to become your mentor, your coach, and the coach wants to know how you're going to make the culture that they've spent, you know, their blood, sweat, and tears into, how you're going to enhance it. We know that, of course, it's about winning. We'd all be fools if we disregarded that. But it's also about enhancing this culture of what you're going to do with this family, how you're going to bring your personality. And a lot of times the players will talk about their backgrounds, their culture, their unique experience they go through, and how to add to some variety on the team and something new. And then you have a lot of the same comment that they're a savior. They shout the loudest when their high school team is playing, and they can't wait to do that with their current team. And any coach wants to know that. You don't want to have somebody silent in the corner. You want to you know, hurrah, hurrah. And that was nice to see a lot of that comment spread around.
What kind of feedback have you gotten in the past from the college coaches on the book and how they use it?
They will show a lot of interest every year because they look forward to having something on the ride home, the drive or the air ride, and they like to hold something in their hand and see where these kids are looking to go to school, how soon, what they're looking to pursue, and get to know them again from not what they just see on virtual paper. It's nice that they reach out, they in advance, they score and have a chance to put the book together. They're already putting in their mailing and billing information, so it's motivation for me to put in hours to put it together. It's knowing that the interest is still there, no matter how accessible the internet is to these coaches.
I think we're going to scooch in a little bit because I'm
more
getting
weather
rained
coming.
On. Yeah. Oh, sorry. So a little forward movement here.
We really are live.
Yeah, we are live. And if I had video, you would see the palm trees blowing and the rain coming down. And thank goodness we're on clay, which means quick
yes.
turnaround after a rain.
Yes.
Okay. So what else can you talk about? What are the challenges that you face as the media person, the communications person, the parent contact? Because Parenting Aces is all about helping us as parents do a better job. What are some of the biggest challenges you've faced dealing with us, and what are some things you'd like to see us do better?
Well, that's a loaded and amazing question.
It is a loaded question. Sorry to put you on the spot.
No, it's fine. It's one of those things that you don't want to oversimplify because it's something, I'm not a parent, so it's something that I have to be sensitive when I answer. As far as the media and the press aspect of this event, you're really just trying to highlight these players that are student athletes. It's an amazing journey that these players have gone through from when they were 7 years old, if not earlier or later, until now where they've become. We've had players like Jack Stock, who just, as you saw, won the Junior Wimbledon. And he won this event years ago.
Oh, he won the doubles. Jack.
Doubles here.
doubles Wimbledon.
Correct. Thank you. I told you I didn't have my backstory.
Yes.
But, and we've had a lot actually come through here that go on to play our qualies and the U.S. Open qualies event. And they're absolute gentlemen. You get to see them grow up. This is my favorite tournament, my favorite junior event, because I never... We don't really seem to have any issues. I say this now, it's during quality.
Yeah.
It hasn't really started yet. But we have the nicest, most mature, respectful parents and players from, I think we're very lucky. A lot of the younger divisions are not quite there yet. There's still a little bit of stress. Here, there's more ease. I think more players want to come on the night and share performances with the coaches. So the challenges aren't as stressful as others in the junior men's club. I think what parents can also do a better job is keeping reality in perspective, which is such a silly thing for me to say.
No, it's
but, what I mean by that is, you know, you run off the 12 and you know, this whole idea of playing professional, I think sometimes a little delusions of grandeur, and they start too early with it, where we parents and coaches, we have to do a better job of putting the players' interests first and understand what it means to be successful. And being playing college tennis doesn't mean you didn't make it. I think you're going to be more successful and find more enrichment, maybe even more financial success after your academic pursuits in college. I don't think that that's anything but making it. In fact, I would strongly suggest that we take a different look at success. And I thought parents from an early age get with the right coach that puts realistic expectations, pushes you to reach your best potential, and know that success is whatever it is that happened after you made those striving efforts, and be proud of them. And not push the kids into something that they're going to find doesn't make them in the long run happy. You want, for me, my happiest moment is when my players, when they're done playing college tennis, want to keep playing tennis, and they love their experience playing college tennis. For me, when they're done and they hang up their racket, it hurts a little bit. It does. I want them when they're 80 years old, getting on court, playing on the clay courts, and and they're matching out with some double. It's important to me that they have memories in the sport that hopefully is a coaching influence. So. As long as parents are putting their kids' interests first, I mean, it is really just a game. It sounds so cliche, but it is a game that we use as a tool to make ourselves better. Then I think parents, if they do that, are doing a great job. It's such a great sport. We want to get back.
It's interesting being here from Atlanta. There are a couple other boys and Sollies from our Southern section, so we have some familiar faces here, which is nice for us. This is my son's first time at a Level 1 event, so, and likely his last, because he will age up before next summer. And it's not looking good for Kalamazoo right now. it's crazy. You never know. It's not looking good at the moment. For us, it's getting loud. My son and I actually had this conversation on the drive down yesterday. I keep focusing on, wow, how awesome that you're getting to have this experience of playing a national level one or plays in Florida where you have the schools you're interested in and what a cool thing. And for him, it's very different. He said, Mom, somebody told me that if at the end of a tournament you say it was a good experience, if I'm as a parent of wanting to say, well, yeah, of course you want to go out there and play your best, and of course it's nice to win, and it's nice to move on in the draw. But at the same time, again, every experience you have in life shapes who you are, who you're going to become. So I feel like you guys, through doing this Facebook and through offering the opportunity for the college coaches to be here, are creating an experience for you. Can you maybe talk a little bit about why having the experience at this particular tournament is so important, and how you can help kids maybe balance that dilemma of, well, I'm here to win, but I'm also here because of some other reason.
Yeah, no, it's I think it's not near impossible to get 16, 17, 18-year-old boys to realize that when they're here. But it's when you're fast-forwarding and you look back and the coulda, woulda, shoulda's come into play, you start really understanding it was never really about winning. It's about what you do in the process. And when you get done playing with senior tennis, she looked back and went, now I understand why my mom was nagging me the whole car ride about hydrating. Now I get the importance of those sacrifices. And at the time, you can understand it. The experience is every step you take when it comes to the tournament day, how you handle defeat, how you handle victory, it totally shapes who you are, but sometimes you just don't realize it until years later when you're looking back, and you then start, you know, appreciating probably what your parents told you. But a lot of times, you know, even if you lost, the coach will remember you based on how you handled it and the heart that you left on the court. And they'll notice when somebody that wins doesn't handle it like a gentleman or doesn't act like they learned from the win. So it's all about our behavior that I think is the lasting memory that our players and the coaches around us remember. So it's 100% in my opinion about the experience. So much of what I do with my professional life now is all about what I learned through junior tennis. And that's why we give so much back. I'm very grateful for the experience that we have here.
Well, expand on that. So much of what you do in your professional life came from what you learned in junior tennis.
Some things I'll do with my team is, doesn't matter if we lost at an event, it's very important that we go up to the tournament director before we leave to acknowledge them, shake their hand, say thank you for the event. Little things, because people remember that. Knowing that you played with integrity, win or lose, you didn't do anything to cheat yourself or others out of the integrity of the game. Putting in the work. You can't just want that instant gratification of the win to get the ball to the end and coin the tournament desk that you have you circle around your name. It's so much more about the process of getting there, the work, whatever, if it was an hour on the court or 6 hours, everything that you did that led up to you wanting the success. You know, you don't get anywhere in this draw, you don't get anywhere professional, we all know this, unless you really busted your push to get there. And I think junior tennis teaches you that there's so much talent around. Any given day, somebody can have a better serve than you. One gust of wind can, you know, sometimes change an emotion. So it's a familiar phrase that we hear from a lot of the world's best coaches, is staying in the moment and appreciating every moment out there without fast-forwarding and rewinding. And that's so true in professional life. It's not getting ahead of yourself. It's not those regrets. It's just keep pushing ahead.
Well, you found a way to stay in the world of tennis professionally, which is so cool. And I think one of the things that I try to share with the Parenting Aces community is having a career in tennis doesn't just mean being on the court and hitting yellow balls.
Yeah,
People think that. And there's so many amazing ways to stay involved in the game without being a player. So you are running the media and public relations for this tournament. You're also a college coach. Talk about how you marry those two things and why you decided to take that path instead of any other path.
Other.
Yeah.
They're all very similar beings in a strange way, because at the end of it, it's all about you want to give back and help a player. That's really the core of this. I had a fortunate that when I was interning through college, that Ivan Barron and his family gave me an opportunity to intern here, and it was a year or two after I finished play courts myself, so it was very familiar, this process, and it's very surreal to be on the other end of the desk. You know, it's one thing to be the player and you approach, and quite another is put on these events, from the pro tournaments that we do to the junior level events, and then of course the college circuit. So all along the way, you're just trying to use tennis as a means to coach these players, and you can relate to what they're going through, and when they're going through puberty, and they're going through college, and they're going through success and rejection. You want a mentor, and for some reason, if you're not in that world, maybe it seems strange as to why you want to stay involved with the sport, but it's so much about what you're doing with the community, and it's so much about what you can do for these kids that want to get to 20, 30 years old. You know, you can almost spot a student colleagues when they're in the boardroom, and there's a certain like common bond that you have. So you're not on the court every day. I am with my college kids, but it's 100% about creating this atmosphere and making sure that we preserve what this sport is supposed to be doing for these players.
There's a lot of discontent, I would say, right now in the junior tennis world, especially right now with the latest changes with the clay courts and hard courts and the selection process and all the confusion over it. And one of the things that I find really challenging is to try to maintain my love of the game and to share that and to continue to encourage people to get their children involved in the game because of all the gifts it gives back. But at the same time, to advocate for change in a positive way for the game itself. And not only are we seeing it in the juniors, we're seeing all these changes happen at the collegiate level. How do you personally handle that kind of back and forth of, you know, you obviously love the game more than anything, but there have to be some things going on that you kind of scratch your head and say, wait, what are they doing?
Yeah, I usually get pretty opinionated. I'm known for it a little bit with my press releases, so I probably won't be completely silent when I'm writing. But I think it's a very tough question you ask, because you have to try and remember every day when these things are happening why you do what you do, and why when you were 7, why did you decide to create a bracket, and how it changed you. You have to remember that, or else you do lose sight of it, and you do fall victim to the indoctrination of what's going on with your sport around you. I just wish, no matter what they're doing, that they can keep in mind, you know, it's a business, and even though it's an organization that prides itself on a great thing, just keeping in mind that we need to develop players, and that should be the focus. If that is the tagline, then that should be the number one focus. And as long as we're striving to really develop and help these people become better tennis players, then I think we'll be doing okay in the long run. It does make me frustrated at times. I would, you know, I would lie and say that it doesn't. From a tennis organization aspect, you want your draws to be full, and you want to give and afford so many kids the opportunity to play. And when the draws are cut shorter and the tournaments on the tournament calendar are less, then of course it affects more people than you might realize. But I can only hope that these are a bump in the road, and hope that change is on the horizon, and hopefully we'll get back to what the whole purpose of this institution is about, is to find players with talent and make them as good people, the best people they can be. You know, we're tennis players second and person first. So I don't know what's going to happen. It changes every year. But I'm hopeful that if enough contributors that have influence make enough of a say about it, maybe change will be coming soon.
One thing I have to commend you on, and one thing in particular, is my son played his first round qualies match this morning. They flipped sets. They played a full third set. It's the first time in a very long time that he's played a full third set. And I think it's awesome that y'all preserve that for the qualies, because I truly was expecting that qualies would play a 10-point breaker in the middle of a third set.
Yeah, it's strange because you hear both sides from different parents at times. Sometimes because they know it's such a long event, they want to abbreviate the score so that you can, again, preserve their bodies. But, you know, for me, I don't like when doubles is cut to make impressive. I don't like when there are no ad scoring. For me, I know that this, again, it's another subjective opinion. But I believe that you should allow these players to play the full duration of the match, especially at this level, because, again, the talent is enormous. On any given day, something can change. And, you know, there's no reason, in my opinion, because there's no team issues, there's no there's no other impending issues that would say we need to abbreviate this to a 10-point. I just let them play and let the victor come out at the end. So it's nice that our tournament and WSA allows us to do that. I hope it just stays that way across the board and we incorporate doubles into that strategy as well.
That would be nice. So will the doubles be 2 out of 3 or they'll be 8-game process?
I think it'll be a question for the tournament director as we go along trying to get the matches in with the weather and with the duration of the event.
Okay. That was a very political answer. Well, we're coming down to our last few minutes, and I think my son's actually going back on court shortly, so I'm going to try and wrap this up. What else do we need to know about the National Clay Courts, and what goes into making this event? How far in advance do you guys start working on this? And
I think we do start working on it just about when the past year's event ends. So we go to the web, we change it, we get the dates, we go to the USTA throughout the year. I know Ivan Barron worked extremely hard with the USTA to put on, we believe is one of our best tournaments in the country. For us, it's really about, as we all have played, it's about communicating as much information as we can to the parents. We know how much stress is on this event. We know how much financial expenditures there are at stake. We know what's at stake. So for our end, we just want to be as upfront and informed through our website, through the office, as much as we possibly can. We're people. If you say to us, we need a little bit more time before a match, I'm dying, I just played 5 hours. We like to think that we work with you. We're not trying to we're trying to make sure that we keep everything fair across the board, but at the same time we want these players to be able to perform. They got this far. It's not that it's over after this, but for all sense and purposes, this after junior tennis this is the pinnacle. So we're just trying to do everything we can, having the best sites that we think are in the country. We have unbelievable facilities that we're so gracious to have. So if we can make it as cushy as possible, then the kids are going to do all the work. And if it's, really, the accolades really belong to the parents. They really do, because you sacrifice pretty much your entire adult. I look back and I wonder, now that I take my college team, I look back at my parents going, how did you do that? I paid back and forth. You have to plan every rental car, the hotels, and you put your life on hold so that your children, so to speak, can have these experiences. And we're just proud to sit back. Our job is easy from here. It's really what the parents and the players do at this point. We look forward to seeing what they do in college or if they pursue any professional endeavors. We hope that we stay involved.
That's very cool. And I have to correct you on one point. You said that parents put their lives on hold. A friend of mine just pointed out to me in another interview that this is our life. It's not that we're putting our life on hold, it's that we're choosing, to go down this path with our children because it's such an awesome experience to have with them. And I think, if more of us as parents can look at it that way, that it's not giving up something, it's creating an opportunity to spend time with your child. And I recently wrote an article, this July marks the first month of my son's last year in junior tennis. And, there's a lot I'm going to miss. There's a lot I'm not going to miss, I won't lie. But, there are very few things in life that afford you the opportunity to have the intense time one-on-one with your child like junior tennis does.
Yeah.
And, you're not traveling with a team. It's just you and your kid, and you have those long car rides, and you have the nights in the hotel room to kind of debrief and catch up. And I think it's really important that we look at it that way. And I'm seeing you, Coach, you have that attitude, too. You
I
wouldn't
do.
Trade
My
it for anything.
Too, but still, nonetheless, it's pretty amazing how much it sacrificed all around.
Sure.
And I wouldn't trade for anything.
Right. Well, thank you so much. I know you've got tons of work to do. I'm going to make sure my son is hydrating and eating properly and has everything he needs before his next match. And I'm looking forward to the rest of the weekend. And hopefully we'll still be here on Monday. But in case we're not, at least we've got the interview done and my listeners will have the opportunity to hear
it. Well, thank you so much for having us.
Thank you. All right. And to my listeners, hope you enjoyed this, and stay tuned to ParentingAces.com, and we got lots more great stuff coming. Hopefully I'll still be in Delray on Monday, but if I'm not, you'll know that too by just following us on Twitter and Facebook and following us on ParentingAces.com. Have a great week, everybody.